everybody.
Hello. Now, I just got thinking. Each night, when we come, we should have a funny joke each night. And so, think about that when you come and share it with us. And we'll all decide which one's got the best.
Do I have one?
You got one?
Well, it's kind of.
Okay, just a minute. Get it on tape.
I don't know. It came in an email, so some of you might have gotten the email.
I never.
Okay. This grandmother and father were keeping care of their little girl. And the grandmother had to leave for a little bit, so the grandfather was going to babysit. So the little girl brought out her tea party set. And she said, "Papa, let's have a tea party." So she got some water, and they played tea party, and the grandfather thought that was so cute. So they did that most of the afternoon. The grandmother came home, and the grandfather said, "Watch what we've been doing." He showed her. And the grandmother looked at the father, and she said, Did it ever occur to you that the only water she can reach is in the toilet bowl?"
Dirty joke. Yeah, that was good. Well, let's start off tonight in prayer and inviting the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you so much for your mercy, your grace. Thank you for your kindness, your goodness to us, Lord. Father, I'm so thrilled to know that the Holy Spirit comes to teach us and lead us into all truth. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit that brings life to the Word. Thank you, God, that even as we gather here tonight, Lord, that we know that the presence of Jesus is in this place. We know that His Word tells us clearly that where two or three are gathered, in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And Jesus, you're the reason why we're here. And it's such a privilege to have your presence with us, guiding us and leading us. And we know that you're the answer to every question that we might have. Lord, even every question, not only every question that we could have, but all the questions that we couldn't even think about asking, you have the answer to all of them. And Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit will lead us into the things that we need to know at this season. And I just thank you for words to be able to come forth tonight by your Spirit that will help us grow. And I thank you for ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us tonight, that we might grow strong in the things of the Lord and be called to the things that you desire for us. And we praise you for your teaching us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I remember years ago I used to ask the Lord some things, and I didn't even know what to ask. So one of my prayers to God was, "Lord, give me the questions to ask." Because, and in fact, what I'm often reminded about is that I went to work at a fish plant one time that they wanted me to look after their equipment, all their fish splitting equipment. And they had more confidence in me than I had. And I told them, I said, "Guys," I said, "this is all German-made equipment, and I've never seen it before. I consider myself a bit mechanically inclined, but I've never seen this equipment before." And they said, "Oh, that's okay. We'll just get one of the machinists from the mainland to come, and you know, you can ask him questions and so forth." And he came there. But I suddenly realized I didn't even know what questions to ask. I didn't know anything about it. It wasn't until I got a little bit familiar that I got some questions to ask. And I came before the Lord with that kind of attitude. "Lord, there's so little I know about this, I don't even know what questions to ask. You're going to have to move upon me to know what questions to ask." And He's helped me. He's helped me a lot in that. So I thank God for it. We talked a bit about prayer last week. We're going to go into that later on again as well. But we want to share a few things tonight, again, concerning the ministry that you believe that God has for you. And I could say, or we believe that God has for us. And as we do that, there's some things I think we want to get settled in our spirit to really be absolutely convinced that we do actually have a ministry that we do actually have something, a call of God in our lives to move into. And I think we'll see that clearer as we go on. Now the scripture I want to start with tonight is in Philemon. And the Apostle Paul wrote to Philemon, who was a house leader. He was a church house leader. And Paul had known him, got to know him. He was obviously, seemed to be quite a wealthy individual. But the reason why Paul wrote to Philemon is because Philemon's slave had run away. And he made contact with Paul somewhere down the line. And through the process, he had gotten saved. His name was Onesimus, and Paul was sending him back to him. He was of great ministry to Paul when he was there, and Paul was sending him back to Philemon because he didn't think it was right to have him and keep him there ministering to him, because really, in those times, you owned the slave, and Philemon, who was a Christian, he owned the slave, and he was sending him back to him. So Paul wrote him, Philemon, and he was exhorting him to treat Onesimus really well. He said, not only is he a slave, but now he's a brother in the Lord. And so he speaks to Philemon about some things concerning how he should receive his runaway slave, and about some other things as well. But the thing I want to mention in verse 4, and Paul says to him, he said, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, talking to Philemon, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. A couple of things there we need to notice is that Paul says, I'm encouraged that I hear about your love and faith. Now, just think of that for a moment. He divided the two, it seems. He said, I'm encouraged in hearing about your love and your faith. And we know that there's an element of acting in love, and there's an element of acting in faith. But think about this for a moment. Could you have love without faith? And could you have faith without love? It seems to me that Paul separated it there a little bit. And it seems to me that it is possible. There's an element of both faith and love. But Paul was encouraging Philemon here that because he heard about his love and faith. Now, obviously, and this is where we get to where we are, obviously, Philemon was an individual who moved in such a way that people recognized his love and faith, because Paul heard about it. People must have been telling Paul about how wonderful Philemon was as a house as church leader, and how he was a giver and all that kind of stuff. He must have, other people must have been talking about it. So these giftings that he had were active. They were visible. It wasn't only something that Philemon thought God was calling him to. He was actually moving in it where other people were able to see it. And this is where we want to arrive, to the place where other people are talking about the specific gift that we have. Because if other people are not saying some things about the calling of God that's on our own life, probably we are not activated in that particular calling the way we should be, the way we need to be. Now notice he said, he talked about love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all the saints. So it's obviously Philemon was hooked up with the saints. He wasn't talking, they weren't talking about just his love that he had for God. They talked about the demonstration or the showing of his love for God through the love that he demonstrated to the saints. So he had this love for God, but he had this horizontal love as well. That he took pleasure out of being a part of a body. He took pleasure out of ministering to the body. And again, this was evident to the people who had talked to Paul about that. That he was a lover of God and he was a lover of God's people. And this is something that we almost must contend for. That we show our love for God by loving one another, by loving God's people. Now, I want to get back just a second here. Ken, asking this question, because this will tie in by the time we're through tonight. Can we have love without faith? Can we have faith without love? I'm convinced we can. There is a love that can be used to work faith There's a faith that works by love, but I believe there's a faith that doesn't necessarily function totally under the banner of love. There can be different levels of love and different levels of faith. Thinking about this, I was reminded of a story by a faith preacher that his brother was backslidden, but he had heard all kinds of faith teaching. He was backslidden and he wasn't in church, and he got into an accident. And the type of accident was that he was covered really with a cast. He asked the doctor, "What would happen if I took this cast off?" And he said, "Well, you'd stand up, your whole body would turn blue, and then you'd fall down dead. Because it had many major, major internal issues and problems." And so he was there in this cast, and one day his niece was there, and she was a little girl. Her mother left and so forth, and who were looking after him. And he got his niece to get a pair of scissors and cut that cast off. Now, he had heard faith preaching, and he believed it worked and so forth. He cut that cast all off. Then he stood up, his whole body turned blue, and he was totally healed. Now, the reason why I use that example is because he wasn't a person who was in church, loved God's people. He wasn't a man who was showing any demonstration, even love for God. But he had learned something about faith that enabled him to get his healing. Now, I don't completely understand how all this works, but I've studied enough and read enough to know that if you will stretch yourself in faith in some particular areas, you'll see the miracle power of God working. But the thing that we want to key in on is what's spoken about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith," I'm reading from the Amplified, "but only faith activated, energized, and expressed and working through love." That's the kind of faith that we're after. We're not after a faith that we can use to just automatically get what we need every time we want it without an intimate relationship with God. That's what we're after. We're after a faith that works by love. So if we are wanting to grow stronger in faith, we may want to grow stronger in love. Because the activation that comes with the faith, the kind of faith that we're after, is that which is motivated, energized, and expressed in working through love. Now, I speak of this because it's important. What's more important than our ability to walk in faith is our integrity and our love for God. Now, we'll get back to that a little bit later, but let's go to verse 6 in Philemon. Again, the Apostle Paul sharing says, verse 5, "Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ, toward all saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." Let me read that last part again. "That the sharing of your faith may become active by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." So he's saying here, I'm praying that by the sharing of your faith, by the activity of your faith, some translations say by the fellowship of your faith, you will become effective in every good work. You will become effective as you share your faith. You'll become effective is really what Paul is saying here. He's saying as you step out, and we're talking about a ministry and gifts and so forth here, as you step out in them, you will have your stepping out or your ministry gifting will be active, will be effective, will be fruitful. And it's interesting because the word sharing there is the Greek word koinonia. And that speaks of intimacy. It speaks of growing together as a body of believers, sharing our faith with one another. It speaks of an ability to partake of the fruit of other people's faith. For instance, if somebody were to give me a prophetic word tonight, then that would be a fruit of their ministry I'd be enjoying. If I hear it and listen to it and I'm open to it, it's like I'm there picking fruit from them. And so by sharing what we carry, other people are partakers of the fruit of whatever we're giving out. And this is what we want to become. We want to become people who impart fruit to others, but we also want to become people who are able to pick fruit out of other people's lives. Because I need to be encouraged. For instance, the word of prophecy, prophetic word, words, we know that prophecy is for edification, encouragement, and so forth. So I need to be encouraged. And so I need to pick fruit, that fruit of encouragement from other people's lives. And so sharing, being active in doing things within our sphere of gifting actually causes us to be able to increase and be more effective. And really, in the natural, it's just, we can think of some things in the natural. Whatever you do in the natural, you get good at. And, you know, the more you do it, the better at it you get. Well, in the spiritual, it's much similar. The more you do, the better you get at it. So, I want to go to Ephesians 4:11 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. The Apostle Paul giving some instruction here. And it is important to grasp a hold of some of these teachings that the Apostle Paul has given, because without using his teachings and doing what they say, we'll never reach to the fullness of what God has for us and his anointing. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, "And he himself," Jesus, of course, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now that's pretty huge to me. He talks about that we can come to what the Bible calls a perfect man or a perfect human being in God, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, of the fullness of the anointing that we need to walk upon this earth. Now notice, it says that he's given these fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, that word is interesting, the ministry, because in years past, one of the things that I found was a little bit distasteful is the amount of people who identified themselves saying the head of ministry. They felt that their ministry probably was in the area of fivefold ministry giftings. And I was pretty careful about referring to people's ministry. And something happened even this past week that caused me to look a little deeper and so forth. And I always knew that we all have a ministry. But the other day, I was actually prophesying over Joanne on Sunday morning. And I used this term, and I remember hearing it coming out, and I thought, I never used that before in basically ministering someone. And I said something about your ministry will grow in this line. And I got thinking about that after, because I kind of heard myself saying that, and about this scripture, and immediately, you know, I kind of meditated on that a little bit, and immediately this scripture came to my mind, where I really feel the Lord really wants us to emphasize on, is that the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are giving for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So you could really say, in talking to the church, that these gifts are given for the equipping of the saints for the work of their ministry. That you all, every one of us has a ministry. And that's where the work needs to be done. The major work of the ministry has to be done by the body, not by the fivefold ministry giftings. It is to be done by the body. And it's almost like, you know, I know Jesus, we look at him as the good shepherd. He is the shepherd, and we think of the shepherd. But as a pastor is referred to as an under-shepherd. He's a shepherd, but he's under Jesus. And we're all under Jesus, but he has a role of being a shepherd. But when you think of that, it is not the shepherd of the sheep that produce more sheep. It's the sheep that produce. We're looking at that clear? So it's the sheep who actually does the work of the ministry to increase. Now, the ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are given by the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's certainly a supernatural element to that ministry. There has to be. If there's not a supernatural element, then it's not a ministry that comes from Jesus, because Jesus operated in the supernatural. He was the greatest apostle, the greatest prophet, the greatest evangelist, the greatest pastor, the greatest teacher. He was the greatest one. And he did, all his ministry was done under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So as he gives these fivefold ministry giftings, there is a supernatural element to them. And that supernatural element on these giftings then is to be released to the body for the work of the ministry. And if their ministry, if the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher has a supernatural element to it, what he is teaching to build up a people to walk in the ministry, then their ministry has to have a supernatural element to it as well.